Welcome to Sports Talk from the Couve. Here is your host, Ryan Black.
Thank you so much. Welcome into the sports jungle here in Vancouver. We have a lot to talk about, man. My mind is racing. There is so much good things happening in the world of sports right now. But I think we have to start, sadly, with me eating some crow. Something I don't like to do. I don't like to admit that I'm wrong, especially when it comes to a sports take, but your Knicks definitely took care of business in the NBA Finals, bringing home the chip. First time in, was it 53 years?
Yeah. It was over 50 years.
I think it's like 53 years.
Yeah. It still doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
I was, when I put my little reaction video out on Instagram, I even said to everybody, like, I'm seeing a lot of people going like, woo, and yelling and screaming. And like, I just didn't have it in me because I was just so emotional.
It hadn't hit you yet.
Yeah. I cried
first
and I, you know, turned on some New York hits, mm-hmm, you know, Empire State of Mind played, New York played, New York State of Mind played, it was amazing. And it was so perfectly written in the way that we weren't supposed to win this.
Right.
We were never winning it.
No.
Almost most of the games we weren't winning. We won at the end. A lot of the time,
I was reading a stat, or actually listening at the during the trophy ceremony. The Spurs led this series like 70% of the time.
Yes,
by a wide margin. But the Knicks never gave up. We were talking about this when we previewed the series. How you're like, this team is gonna stick around. Yeah. Is gonna find a way to close these games out, and you were 100% right.
It's a big thing. Is our three best players are number ones on any team,
right?
Are in arguably even the fourth best player in Bridges could probably be a number one in most teams.
Mm-hmm.
And where the Spurs had Wemby, and then they had a lot of young unproven guys. They had a rookie who played great. Harper played great.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox played great. He'll probably
De'Aaron Fox showed up for like a game and a half.
I still think that he's going to, I don't think he'll be a Spur next year, but I do think he'll get paid.
He already is. He's locked into his max contract starts with them. They might be able to trade out of it.
I think they're trading him. I think they will trade him.
But he's a $50 million player next year. And for him to shoot the way he shot.
Right.
That was the big, at the end of the day, it was the Spurs coming out hot and then not being able to hit the shots down the stretch.
Didn't have the vets. Didn't have anybody.
Well, they
to
had
slow
vets.
It down.
Their vets were just hurt. I mean, and the vets they had weren't great.
They weren't ball guys.
No, they
needed a vet that could bring the ball up court and slow it down,
mm-hmm,
and not have to have Wemby take the ball up at the top of the court every time. You know, there was a lot of times where, and yes, I know this is where Wemby works and he can move around a lot and stuff, but like, I don't want my 7'4" guy at the top of the court. At the three-point line.
Well, I think they should go out this offseason and get a legitimate center and actually move Wemby to the four.
I mean, that is the thing they could do. I think we watched Flag do that. He started out as like a power forward, and now he's playing small forward and even a little bit of guard.
Yeah. I think it would create so many different mismatches, and it would also allow Wemby to space out his game a little bit more.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, in the sad thing is it was an amazing series. Mm-hmm. The one thing is the officiating was god awful on both sides
of
the ball.
Terrible, terrible.
Wemby should have had a flagrant and should have missed a game based off of his play and conduct.
I mean, the game never came, but yes, he should have had to have missed game 6.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, he could have got that. I think he could have got it earlier in the series and had to miss game 4 or 5. I mean, he got the benefit of the doubt so many times during that series.
It gave him reasons why it happened instead of why it wasn't okay for that to happen.
But through that whole series going in, I knew that Jalen Brunson was a great player or was a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I quite realized what a great player he is and how much he really takes over the game and how fun he is to watch and how humble he is.
Yeah.
He is the exact definition of what you want to model yourself around as a superstar in this game.
Yes.
Taking less money, helping build that team the way it is built right now to be in the championship spot, yeah. to go out there and do what he did so humbly.
And he's basically family with all of his teammates.
Exactly.
They're so tight. And mm-hmm. it's beyond the Nova guys.
It's beyond the Nova 3.
Yeah. Him and Kat are like brothers. Got to love Mitch Robinson. Shout out to his monster truck.
He played
tonight.
A huge role in that series.
Yes. And I told people that mm-hmm. would be a big thing mm-hmm. was the fact that you could have Kat play the 4 and him play the 5 at mm-hmm. times. And when you needed to sit down Kat, we may have lost out on scoring, but we made up for it in rebounds and defense. That's yeah. what he does. Yeah. That's what he does. And I'm actually really scared because I think it's going to be hard to keep Mitch Robinson now. I think we're going to get lots of offers yeah. Yeah. for him. For a guy that was always like right on the verge of maybe we'll trade him, maybe mm-hmm. not. Like I can't help but feel like he's going to have a new home. I hope not, because he's the only guy on the team that was the longest tenured Nick on the team this year.
Oh, really? I didn't
yes.
know that.
Yes. Okay. He's been on the team the longest. He got drafted by the Knicks.
Okay.
And hasn't left since, has been a journeyman guy. Today at the parade, he took his truck. He's got these big giant, like, he's really into country music and he's like into your southern roots.
That
and stuff.
Makes sense.
So he's got these big giant lifted trucks uh-huh. that are like, you know, those big ridiculous ones, basically look like monster trucks. He had one with Mitch Robinson down the side of it, and he was just sitting in the back of it, and somebody was driving for him, and he was just having the time of his life, man.
That's so funny.
It was so cool.
That's so good.
I think the biggest thing that made me worried all series was our bench. Our bench yeah. really, really made me nervous, because when they were good, they were great. Mm-hmm. And when they were bad, we were going on like runs of our bench not scoring at all.
Not scoring, yeah.
And that was such a scary thing for me, because knowing that Alvarado is a good shooter, so is Landry Shamet, Jordan Clarkson's no slouch, those guys should be producing, and we just can't. And I was worried that our starting five would be the peak, would be like, we're in these games, but we aren't closing it out because we're not getting the help we need. And turns out it doesn't matter, because Jalen Brunson can put up almost 50 points each time.
Right. Well, and the thing that I, throughout the series watching, it's just how likable of a team that you guys have. From your players to your coach, the only person that I don't like in your organization is your owner.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
I mean, yeah.
Me too. I can give him a little bit of a break now.
Yeah.
But there was still a point where I absolutely hated him. And there was still a point I'm never going to forget. And Rich Eisen brought this up on his show. There was a point where Kyrie and Kevin Durant would rather be Nets than Knicks.
I remember that.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we... Like, I get Jay-Z bought the Knicks, or the Nets, made them all cool, moved them to Brooklyn. The black and silver was a cool new thing. Like, it means so much more to be a Knick.
It does, it,
you have to win those battles, and we weren't at all. We hadn't since getting Melo at that point, you know? And now seeing the drafting guys, trading for guys, not being afraid to give picks up. I've been the biggest critic of Mikal Bridges. I still think he went kind of quiet in the series, but he didn't play terribly and he wasn't a liability like I thought that he would be. And on top of that, I have to give Mike Brown credit.
So much credit, man.
I hated the Mike Brown signing. I think I called you when Thibodeau got fired and then they hired Mike Brown.
Well, they fired Tibbs and then it didn't seem like they had a plan after they got rid of him.
They were calling people and people didn't want the job.
Right.
People saw that Thibodeau made the playoffs and still got fired and were like, I don't know if I want that job. I don't know if that's the best choice for me career-wise. And Mike Brown was like, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, and he walked the parade route and hung out with fans and shook their hands and took pictures with them and sang "Who Let the Dogs Out" with them. And
that was my favorite part of the whole thing. I was sitting there eating my orange chicken at the beach as the ceremony was happening in the background. And I'm eating my orange chicken, and I just hear, "Who let the dogs out?" And I'm like, that was not on my bingo card today at all. Like, who is singing this song from early 2000s? Like, that was total time loop. That was a pretty cool moment. We're talking about head coaches, and we're talking about basketball, so I think it's probably a good time for us to bring in a little bit of the update on the Blazers head coaching situation, because a major shakeup happened in that situation. Owner Tom Dundon, obviously, with the Carolina Hurricanes as they won the Stanley Cup. So for all the Blazer fans out there who are nervous, Tom Dundon is bringing championships to the teams that he currently owns, and that's a big thing. But he was away for the Stanley Cup, and Tiago Splitter got hired by the Chicago Bulls. So Portland is now 100% without a head coach, without an interim head coach, and we are still down to the Lash Brook and Micah Norrie as the two finalists. I'm wondering if somebody else kind of pops up on that list, because Portland has to act soon if they want Norrie, because Norrie is also in the final stages of being interviewed for the Dallas job and the Mavericks job. And with Cooper Flagg being there, kind of an appealing job for somebody to go out and get. And then, like I said, you're might be left with your, I wouldn't say third choice, because I don't know how they have those ranked out of the three, but the most unproven, the most young guy coming in. He has coaching. He has head coaching experience at the G League level and being a part of Boston. And he's praised as one of the best young offensive minds in basketball. But he's also 34 years old, so it'll be a younger coach than some of the players on the roster.
You're older than us.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's actually, I hadn't even thought about it like that. Yeah, that's wild. So it's going to be interesting to see when the final decision is made, because we were talking about timing, and now that Tom's done with the Stanley Cup Finals and he can focus on everything that this offseason will bring to Portland, got to get that head coaching hire in the books. And wrapped up here, hopefully in the next week or two. You got the draft coming up next week. It's crazy how fast basketball offseason moves. Other thing that I always forget. Like, the season ends, and like a week and a half later, it's time for the NBA draft.
And the free agency comes really fast.
Yep, right. Comes right after that.
Do you think because of the success from the Hurricanes that's what slowed this process or made
100%.
And also, like, with Splitter going to the Bulls, which I would argue Blazers, I like the Blazers roster more than the Bulls roster.
I agree 100%.
But again, saying you're the head coach of the Chicago Bulls is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how do you lose your former coach to another team? Like, unless you're not that interested in him, or not trying that hard. It has to be one of the two, right?
I have a sneaking suspicion that the media was reporting the interest is higher than it really was.
Okay.
I think that, you know, it's hard to bet against a man that went into one of the most least stable organizations in the NHL and in less than 10 years has completely turned that organization around, mm-hmm. made them financially stable, hired the right coaches, brought the right people in to make the right decisions, and brought them to the promised land. So I think I'd feel a lot differently if the Hurricanes hadn't just won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Because we can see the roadmap for success there. Mm-hmm. The roadmap for success here is very similar. You know, the arena thing getting worked out being the number one thing. But again, the city of Portland owns that. That is a public asset. So they're going to have to put in a lot of that money because it is their asset at the end of the day. And it needs to be remade. Let's just say the Blazers leave. Yeah. That doesn't mean the Moda Center doesn't need to get those renovations.
Right, the fire's still there.
Right.
They still host many, many different things mm-hmm. throughout their place.
Yep, Winterhawks and all
Well, the
that.
Winterhawks play next door. But they play their big deal games over in,
right.
Like when they're in their playoffs and stuff, that's when they move over to the next door.
Moda.
But the Moda is where they host all the state championship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Moda is where a lot of high school games get played. A lot of
all the big concerts. The bigger comedy, you know, people. Yes. Adam Sandler
was there not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, they're gonna have to pump public money in it.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense for everybody to sit down and get that whole situation figured out, sign the lease. Lock this team in and really go balls to the wall and put all the effort in to make Portland what we all think it can be, what it has been on the brink of so many times. And it's about building that culture now. And we can't build that culture if we don't have the right venue to do it.
Yes, yeah. It's going to take a lot. It stinks that you have to figure out the team and the coach as well as the stadium as an owner. There's not, a lot of the times you're it's either one or the other.
Right.
Or at least you have more time, and usually the stadium comes first.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said a couple episodes ago, that's why I think it is the biggest offseason in franchise history. There's so many different pieces to the puzzle that have to start to come into play this offseason, or, you know, it could become a big, dire thing. And with, you know, all the goodwill you have with Dame coming back next year, you know, before you even do anything this offseason, you already get a huge upgrade to your team because you have Damian Lillard, arguably the best player in Blazers franchise history, coming back to the team to reinvigorate the city, which is why the whole, oh, he's going to sell the team, he's going to move the team, none of those things really ever registered, because I'm like, Dame's about to come back. Like, this is somebody who will stand up and say something because he wants Portland here. He wants to retire a Blazer. He's made that abundantly clear, his love for this place and this team and this organization. And I think that means he's going to do everything he can to help shape it and keep it here.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll have to find out. The time's running out.
The time is running out, and the time is running out on this segment. We have got to go pay the bills, or our producer, Jono, will get in our ear and start to yell at us, and we don't like that. So we'll be back here in just a little bit on KXRW 99.9 Vancouver Independent Radio.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
KXRW is supported by founding partners, Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Welcome back to Talking Sports in the Couve. This is Ryan Black. Sitting here beside me is Rip Rex. There's been so much exciting things happening in the world of sports, but sadly, they cannot all be exciting. Sadly, we have to talk about the negative sometimes. And right now, that negative is in college football. Brandon Sorsby in particular, and the situation that is unfolding at Texas Tech, or has unfolded over the past few weeks. Brandon Sorsby transferred in from Cincinnati over the offseason, a highly touted quarterback for the Aggies to get, and he was going to be their starter this year. He was going to be the man that tried to lead them to the promised land, but there was no promised land for him to lead them to this year because of all the things that he did in his past. There was allegations when he was at the University of Cincinnati from his days when he played before at the University of Indiana, where he was the quarterback. This man allegedly bet over 9,000 times when he was in school.
And that's over the span of all the colleges he was at?
Yes, yeah. Over his time at Indiana and at Indiana and Cincinnati, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was reading, it was like 100 or so of those bets were him betting on or against his team, like side bets, prop bets, overall, just all kinds of bets. He funneled over $60,000 into separate family members' accounts to bet for him. So he was a gambling addict at its finest. And I take nothing away for people that are going through that kind of addiction because it is real, especially with the access that we have to it now with it being in the palm of our hands.
You can literally bet on anything.
You can
bet on absolutely anything.
Anything. That new Kalshi thing that they've got going around everywhere. You literally can go online and bet on anything. It's crazy. So, you know, it's understandable. But at the end of the day, when you're doing it in that amount, that much, there has to be consequences still. And yeah. I think that's where I have a problem with this is because the NCAA originally ruled him ineligible, which makes a lot of sense. But then he and the university filed an injunction and an appeal with a local court in Texas, and somehow that...
Found somebody that would say yes. That's all they had to do. They just had to find a judge that would say yes.
Find a judge to say yes. But, you know, we remember when we were in school and those Oklahoma players got suspended for eating too much pasta. Yeah. I mean, you go back and you look at...
You were taking gifts from
right, those alumni, Ohio State, so. Those Ohio State players that sold the memorabilia to get the tattoos.
Yes, yes.
You know, there's so many things... And we always thought the NCAA was this almighty, all-powerful organization.
The end-all be-all.
The end-all be-all. Yeah. And we have, right now, things are proving that they're not.
No, you can come back for 7 years.
You can come back for 6 or 7 years. You can
bet on your
team. Bet on your team. It's wild. So what the university did is they found a judge that would grant an injunction in this case, and then the trial date for the case was set very, very coincidentally 2 days after the college football playoff season would end. Mm-hmm. So the case wouldn't have even been heard until after the season.
After he already played.
After he already played. Yeah. So all the schools in the Big 12 were like, we're seriously consider boycotting. And, you know, the Big 12 was in a terrible spot because they're, you know, trying to play, you know, peacemaker and figure it out. And, you know, every college was, you know, this kid shouldn't play. This kid shouldn't play.
Yeah, there's divisions, but conferences that were like, none of our guys are going to come play. None of our teams are going to come play this team.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten stood up and said, we're not going to.
Right, yeah, Big Ten did. LSU did. There's another, Georgia did as well. So there was already a lot of programs coming out and saying it. And then the thing that people at Texas Tech were like, well, you know, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't beat anybody up. Well, that's good. I'm glad he didn't beat anybody up. But you also can't bet on your own team however many number of times he bet on his own team.
No, they took the route of this man has a sickness and we shouldn't abandon him.
Right, exactly. And there's no pathway for him if we don't help him, which is the other part, because there is a pathway for him, and that pathway is the pathway that he opted into taking, which is the supplemental draft in the NFL. The supplemental draft is for players that have a hardship that does not allow them to get their final year of eligibility, and if this hardship happened after the NFL draft had already been concluded. So the draft is over and all this is happening. So he is now eligible for the supplemental draft. And the way the supplemental draft works is teams essentially will get to bid on him with mm-hmm. their future draft capital from next year.
Yeah, some examples of guys that were the Brian Bosworth mm-hmm. was a supplemental draft guy. Terrell Pryor was a supplemental draft.
Josh Cribbs
was another. Yep, he got in trouble for marijuana actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a number of times in the NFL and in NCAA.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. You want to talk about addiction?
Yeah, that was a wild one.
I enjoy partaking. I do really, really do, but if it meant being an NFL player, I think I would stop.
Yeah,
I think I would quit.
That would be a good reason. All those $1 million sitting in the bank. Would,
even just that, just like living the dream. That was always the dream.
Always,
you know?
Always the dream.
To think that something like that was above the dream was always crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Same thing with gambling.
Yeah.
Same thing with how you go about it, because it's very easy to come out and be like, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I have a sickness, I'm going to take my punishment mm-hmm. and move on. And maybe then he enters the supplemental draft, gets a little bit more support mm-hmm. than necessarily fire. Mm-hmm. And who knows what happens, because he's a great quarterback.
He is, and that's what I was going to say. That's the other point of this. This is a guy that is, if he would have went into the draft this year, he would have been a late first, early second round pick.
Probably the second quarterback taken.
Yeah, probably most likely the second or third quarterback off the board. It would have been him. He would have been competing with Ty Simpson to be the second quarterback taken in the draft.
Yeah, yeah. And it would have made a little more sense why Deontay Moore opted out if it was those three quarterbacks, Fernando, right. Sorsby, and Ty Simpson, that he had to compete with to try to get a good spot. Like, that would have made more sense. Him denying it with only those two still... That's another story for another time.
Yeah, that'll get me on a whole separate rant. We don't have time for it.
But the talent of players that come out of the supplemental draft is a big thing I want to cover.
Yeah, I mean, because it's there. Yeah, it's there. But it's also been, you know, there's also been instances where people have went into the supplemental draft thinking, you know, their problems are going to be solved, they're going to get picked, and they go unselected. You know, just because you're in the supplemental draft doesn't mean somebody's going to take a flyer on you. He is talented enough that somebody will take a flyer on him. And this is where I'll put it back on me, because, you know, I've been hearing, oh my gosh, the Steelers will never get an opportunity to draft a quarterback like this because they don't want to rebuild. So Pittsburgh's got to go out and go get Brandon Sorsby. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Because of the attention, not the talent, though.
Yeah, because of the what if. Because I don't want to wake up and I don't want to see breaking news, Adam Schefter, Brandon Sorsby bets on the Steelers week 3, you know, coin toss, and can never play football again.
Yeah, they just don't seem like an organization that would entertain that stuff anyways, extra drama.
I'm hoping. I'm really hoping. I there will be teams that will be in the mix to take the shot. The next thing we have to find out, though, is because he is declared, the NFL hasn't officially accepted him.
Yep.
It's everybody believes that they're going to accept him, and the draft would be at the end of July, sometime towards the end of July, if they do accept him. So teams will have about a month to do a ton of homework into it, and, you know, talk to the people that hopefully he went to the rehab, to the inpatient rehab place for was 35 days or something.
Yeah,
So, you know, they'll be able to reach out and get all of that, that information that they need to make that informed decision. But it's really hard. You know, you've got somebody that's uber talented,
mm-hmm.
but with one click that a phone that he has in his hand all the time could go away. And yeah. now he's got millions of dollars in the bank.
Yeah. I think there's definitely teams that are going to consider it. I think one team that is like right on that edge of like being top three favorite to get the first pick next year, but also has some a decent amount of talent to try to do something. I think he could end up in Miami.
Miami would be interesting. Arizona would be an interesting one.
Those are two teams that have quarterbacks that they decided to go all in on.
Mm-hmm.
Brissett being a little bit older than Willis, but not necessarily being proven franchise guys.
Well, but Brissett still doesn't have Brissett still isn't showing up because they're not paying him.
Right.
I mean that Arizona. That's why I think Arizona might be the team, and then we have to think. You know, what will it look like? You know. What is somebody willing to give up for a first-round talent? Is somebody going to give up a second-round pick? Is somebody going to, you know, try to outbid that and just say, no, this is a first-round talent. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. We're going to stick to our guns, and we're going to give up our first-round pick. I don't think that's going to happen. I would imagine it would be a second or a third-round pick when everything is said and done. But, you know, If enough teams get in the mix of the bidding process, and I don't know exactly, like, I don't know if it's public information for the teams or, you know, how it's done or if it's done based off last year's draft order. I'm not sure how they group the teams or break the teams up.
Yeah, who gets to go first or whatever.
You know, because, you know, what if the Giants offered a second-round pick and what if the Steelers offered a second-round pick? You know, who gets them at that point? I don't know the answer to that yet. Right. Haven't done enough research into the supplemental draft, but it's a fascinating thing to sit there and think about.
I mean, absolutely. There's so many pieces that can fall. You also got to factor in, like, yes, they can make this move now. They can hedge their bets or offer something for him. But you're also on the verge of a very very stacked, very very competitive quarterback class next year.
It's going to be a great quarterback draft.
And you could still put yourself in a position to get a great quarterback without adding all of the extra stuff,
mm-hmm.
or going through all the extra trouble. You know, it's going to be hard not to see Manning as a Jet, but if you can get that second or third pick, you're going to end up with a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Cardinals and the Dolphins are the two teams right now that are probably favored at that second and third spot. The Jets are absolutely foregone conclusion. Like everything I've read, number one chance at getting the first pick next year.
Yeah.
And they made moves to make sure that happened. They got multiple first round picks because of getting rid of their stars and stuff. But now you put yourself in if they're going to go get Arch, we've got Deontay Moore.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, who's the kid from, is it LSU? No.
Oh, Brett Nussmeier?
Nussmeier?
Yeah.
Great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
There's all over the place, over the place. They move around so much, it's hard to remember some of the spots they're at.
It is.
But this is such a packed quarterback group of proven guys that you've watched win. So I don't know, man. Part of me wants to see Sorsby play because I know he's a good quarterback. I am a fan of redemption. But if like and like I'm willing to give somebody a chance to redeem themselves, but it's how they do it. So we got to see how that goes. It's also really hard being someone who wants to see Pete Rose be a Hall of Famer.
Exactly. Yep.
He can't be a Hall of Famer.
You every single sport, the underlying inherent rule, you can't bet on your team.
That's your team. Yeah, the rule you don't break.
That is the one rule, and it's the one rule that just got, you know, completely ignored. I remember last offseason, there was the quarterback for Iowa State, completely, you know, way lesser of a program. Mm. He bet $5 on a basketball or a volleyball game for his school, self-reported it, and he was denied his final year of eligibility.
Right.
So when you think about it like that, where somebody that, you know, almost got a chance to play this year after, and you think about somebody who almost got a shot at playing this year after betting 9,000 times on various sports, which is not allowed.
Being, just by being persistent enough and having a school that's willing to go and just like feel around for who's going to give him a yes, who's going to help him out. And that felt very corrupt and dirty. You can just go to an alumni who happens to be a judge, or you can go to a fan who happens to be a judge and like, yeah, we'll move towards, you know.
That's the other part of it. The judge that granted the injection was a Texas A&M law graduate. So at the end of the day, you're like,
Texas Tech, you mean?
Yeah, Texas Tech. Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you're like, really? This is how we're rigging the system. We went from players can't eat, you know, over this much pasta to, you know, hands off because we lost the NIL battle and now everybody knows they can take us to court.
Right, right. You can now there's no guidelines, there's no safeguard set in place for any of this stuff.
It's the wild, wild west. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but they're now allowing basketball players that played professionally overseas or just got drafted but never appeared in a regular season NBA game but like played in the summer league and stuff.
Back.
They can come back to college and stuff. I mean, it's
crazy.
It's ridiculous what you can get away with right now as a college athlete in the NCAA. And I always said it, you know, one day it's just going to get too much and it's become wild, wild west. And that's what it has become, the wild, wild west.
Yeah, to the point where they're even like their sacred tournament that they were so proud of extended to 25 teams to make more money. Mm-hmm. To make more money. There are not 25 teams that are worth being in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
It's all about the mighty, mighty dollar at the end of the day. And it is all about the mighty dollar here because we got to go out. We got to pay our bills. This is Talking Sports in the Coop, KXRW 99.9 Independent Vancouver Radio.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley and Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at BuckleyLaw.net. Again, that's BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
KXRW is supported by founding partners, Morrell Inc., Print, and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com. Don't stop.
All right, welcome back to Talking Sports in the Coop. We've got one more final segment here before we have to get out of town for the next week. Caleb, thank you so much, man, for coming in, talking with me, as always, being part of this journey.
Always a pleasure. I enjoy listening to everything you've got to say. This has been something that's been building up for a long time, so.
Yeah, I always look forward to recording days. We record your show, then we record mine. It's pretty awesome that we get to live this dream together.
Yeah, you get a good laugh before you got to come in and talk sports. It's a good time. It is.
I do. Well, you know, talk about something.
You want a good laugh.
I do want a good laugh.
If you want a good laugh.
I want to talk about living the dream, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, the best laugh I've found so far, honestly, is getting to witness and watch some of these World Cup fans enjoy things about America.
God, I love the World Cup, man. It's so
funny.
I love the World Cup. Oh my goodness. The best.
But it's like I'm laughing at things like the UK discovering ranch dressing.
Yes.
And
TSA had to literally issue a warning to people that they can't fly back with the bottles of ranch in their checked bags, bring it in carry-ons. Also, any UK people out there, they sell packages of ranch mix at the store. Probably your best bet.
Not the same, though.
Just load up on the packs and go home and make it with sour cream. It'll taste even better, I promise.
There's been so many different cases of the foreigners showing up to an American. It's like, wow, we've been lied to. there are things we were worried about that we're not worried about. Yeah. There was a video I watched of a South African fan absolutely losing his mind with how safe it was for him to walk in the park.
Yep.
Or like women walking by themselves with really nice handbags. It's like, this would not happen here.
Yes.
That truck right there is driving by too slow.
Yes.
If it was driving that slow, it would have been stopped and they would have raided the back of it.
Yeah. I'm surprised we never got like a joint crossover celebration from your Knick fans and all the Brazil fans that were
there
in New York.
I was looking for it. I think that Wemby had a lot of the foreigners won over, so yeah. I think they were probably rooting for Wemby.
Imagine being like a Brazil fan and being there for the World Cup, and then just the Knicks happen to win the championship.
Yes, you're about to go to bed or something.
Yeah.
Like you have a really early morning because you're not used to the time zone, and you're like trying to go to bed, and all of a sudden the city erupts.
Right. Yeah. you look out your window. Oh, the bus that we're supposed to go on to the game tomorrow is now being destroyed.
Somebody's climbing on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Somebody's beating it up with a scooter. I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That
would be a crazy crossover, though.
It would be. I think I'd rather see him cross over with like the Scottish fans or the Norway fans.
Yeah.
Those guys sound crazy. Fun crazy. Like Rex crazy.
I'm admirable.
Like I'm like nice when I hear things like the Scottish fans absolutely drank the plane dry and then drank Boston dry. Yeah,
they drank the Sam Adams bar, Sam Adams beer out of beer.
Yes,
they went to the Sam Adams facility and said, "We are going to drink all of your beer now. Thank you."
Their cooler broke because from opening the door too much, from swinging the door, it broke. That's an actual thing that happened.
Alcohol sales are 4 times higher than on St. Patrick's Day in Boston. It's great. The Scottish fans going to Fenway Park was amazing.
Yes. Here in the Norway fans at games doing the row.
Yep. Or rowing up the escalator.
Escalators,
rowing up the escalator was an all-time classic. They all just sit down in ship formation.
Boys. Yep.
Oh.
Roo.
Roo. Oh yeah, that's how it is.
Roo.
Yep.
Hearing the you have a favorite one, and it's funny thinking about it too because like this is such a like well duh thing for us, but us Americans are so used to going into a restaurant and getting something for free, like a complimentary thing to start with, like for example, chips and salsa. And there was a fan who didn't quite understand that one. I was going to let you talk that one out.
My favorite story so far is the Japanese fan that went into a Mexican restaurant in the U.S. and ordered chips. And he was like, this is like, this is free. This is a gratitude. Like, I don't have to pay for this. I'm confused. I must honor this gift and I must eat all these chips and salsas that are coming to me. So he put three baskets of chips and salsa away before his meal came and he was wrecked. He said, oh no, now I won't be able to eat the food that I ordered because I was so worried about the free chips and salsa.
Well, and it's all an honor and respect thing for
it
them.
Is an honor and respect
it's
and the story it's like, you know, he's like, I have to honor the gift that they're giving me because they're trusting me because I haven't paid for my food yet.
Yes, I haven't earned this.
This is better than an appetizer because this is just, they're just doing this and it's bottomless. I remember like in the story, he like freaks out when he figures out it's bottomless. He's like, they're just going to bring me more? All I have to do is sit here and they'll bring me more?
Yes. There was a video I saw of a UK fan who was like thrown off that every time he'd finish his drink, somebody came and refilled it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've had 12 sodas and I'm just going to keep drinking this until they tell me I can't have any more. That's what he said in the video. He's like, they're just going to keep bringing me them and I'm going to keep drinking them. And it was like soda. It was like a Pepsi or something.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And all of this is without even touching and talking about the actual World Cup itself, the actual soccer, the actual football, whatever you want to call it, because it's been pretty magnificent to start with. On and off the pitch, it has been a fun World Cup. Going into this, we talked about all the unknowns. Would we really be ready? How would we be as a host country? We're proving like we should be a host country every 3 or 4 cycles because this World Cup is that good.
Yes, and yes, you're getting a lot of the stories about, you know, referees not making it into the country, athletes not making it into the country, athletes getting sent home. You are hearing that, and that is something we got to acknowledge and say that it is happening. But on top of that, to have an experience that has outweighed a lot of that is a big deal, and it's worth talking about. The United States has been playing great, but on top of that, I heard today Canada got their first ever World Cup win.
Yeah, they won 6-0 today against Qatar.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge
deal. I didn't know Canada never won a World Cup game before.
They never won a World Cup game. The first time they ever drew a World Cup game was last week when they played.
And you've got U.S. playing well. You've got England playing well. You've got Argentina playing well. You've got all the big deal countries all coming ready to go. France is looking like one of the favorites.
Well, you say all the big deal countries, but Spain did not show up. They got a draw, which should be considered a loss against Cape Verde.
Okay, yeah.
Just an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to witness. I remember watching the game and seeing them cling on to that clean sheet is so good. I mean, if the game ended 1-1, yeah, it still would have been an accomplishment, right? Mm. But to come in and to shut out the favorite in the tournament in Spain as being one of the most unknown countries heading into the World Cup, that's what I live for, man. That's what I love about this. Any given day on that field, 90 minutes determines things. This year's been kind of fun, too, because they made it mandatory. It wasn't. Normally, it used to be there'd be, like, hydration breaks if it got over a certain number or degree-wise, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's mandated hydration breaks. So soccer has now kind of become this, like, game of 4 quarters almost, like we see in, like, basketball and stuff. Because it used to just be constant, you know, whistle-to-whistle kind of a thing. So to see them like get together, formulate a game plan like 20 minutes through the game is also added, I think, a different level to, you know, how teams are executing things, preparing for things, planning for things. It changes the way the game's played, the ability to all the things that the referees can do in this tournament that they couldn't do before. Like in the U.S. game, the wrong person got a card, and it looked like we got a card, but the other player actually, what they call simulation, which makes it look like it was more of a foul than it really was. And mm-hmm. that card got rescinded. In World Cups past, that wouldn't have been, that card wouldn't have been rescindable. And if you get two yellow cards, then you have to miss a match.
Yep.
So it's a huge deal that the things that, you know, the game is being controlled in such a better way this time that we're not being like, oh, this referee's decision is the reason that, you know, this country didn't win this game. So it's been compelling soccer on the pitch. But we talk about the U.S., man. I've never, ever, ever seen the U.S. play a better game than I saw them play in the opening round against Paraguay. It was so much fun. And I think a lot of it is just because we have a Premier League manager now in Mauricio Pochettino who knows what he's doing tactically, knows how to line the players up, knows how to get the best out of his players. It really, really makes a difference. And you could tell that he had prepared those men to go out there and play a game, but also have fun playing a game. And it didn't look like we had this like chip on our back that we had to go out and prove something. We went out there and we had a fun time. And I'm excited for by the time this is over, we'll already know, or by the time this airs, we'll already know if the U.S. is going to be advancing out of their group. But we beat Australia tomorrow. We're in a very, very good spot heading into the final game. We're going to guarantee one of those first two seeds tomorrow, one of those first two spots in our group, and get ready for knockout football. I mean, I don't want to say the U.S. could go on a run and win it all, but I also don't not want to say that after watching us play, because Paraguay is a really good team, a really good defensive team too, that we went out and did a lot of damage to. So there's a lot of reason for me to be hopeful and optimistic. I mean, Gio Reyna coming on and scoring that goal at the end of the game after everything that happened to him at the last World Cup was poetic justice, man. It's just everything about this World Cup has been great, and I'm loving it all right now.
Well, I gotta ask, I'm not gonna be that American who's like, oh, they beat Paraguay. I'm not gonna be that whole thing. But I am gonna ask: is this because every year when we have a team that we feel good about with the U.S., it starts this way. It always starts this way. We have a really good showing. We have some good games. We get into the conversation, and then we can't keep up with the rest of those guys that make it into those rounds. Can we match that? Realistically, yes, you can be excited and you can be riding high and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, France is a really good team. England's a really good team. Brazil, Argentina. I'm naming the big deal teams.
Right.
But there are smaller countries even that are very good. Can we sustain that?
I think to a point, yeah. Okay. I think, you know, obviously it's going to get harder and harder as things go. But I see no reason that this team can't make it to the final eight.
Okay.
I think that is a very good, very realistic, very obtainable goal for the U.S. is making it to the round of eight and making it further than any U.S. team has ever made it before. You look at the players that we have, you look at, first of all, the players that we have, and then you look at who they are playing for. It's not just like we have one or two guys that play overseas and, you know, 80% of the players we have are coming from the MLS. No, this is an America team that is driven by having players at really good clubs all over the country. And so people are starting to see that rise in American talent. Florian Ballinga, our striker, decided to play for the USA instead of playing for England, instead of declaring his nationality for England. And so, you know, those kind of things are huge wins for this country, to be able to put a competitive 11 on the field every match. And like I said, just seeing Poch on the sideline and seeing the difference that he has made in this team already gives me so much excitement for the U.S. I can't wait for tomorrow's game. Me and my girlfriend are looking for a watch party tomorrow to go and just go crazy and have a good time at, because I want to be in this environment. I want to soak this all up as it's happening, because it's a special time for U.S. soccer. It's finally that time of growth that we've been saying we're going to see for the last 10 years. The steps that we've needed to take over the last two or three World Cups, we didn't take. And it felt like, you know, a year before this World Cup, we finally started to, you know, realize it was coming and start to take things seriously. We played our best game ever, and I can't wait for tomorrow to see how we do against Australia.
I mean, the sport's never been more popular with younger kids and the youth. And so there's lots of kids playing soccer here in the country. There's a lot of kids choosing soccer as their main sport when they get to high school and things like that, and taking it very seriously. And to finally give them something, because you don't get a lot of soccer love when it comes to college sports, if at all.
It's because it's the system is just not set up for collegiate soccer.
Yeah, you're a lot of the times, if you're a really good American player, you're going to a different country after you finish high school or something like that.
Right, because a lot of everybody overseas goes through academies. Mm-hmm. So there's no, you know, there's that club, you know, club soccer here is essentially, you know, being in an academy and going through the academy process.
Up into an age and then it's done. Yes. I guess you could be good enough to get drafted to the MLS.
At that point, you would sign on with the main team. I've been talking about overseas.
With Americans, like even the MLS teams, like you get drafted there, right? You know, in U.S. sports, not necessarily.
There is a draft in Major League Soccer, but it doesn't often produce players that are ready or going to even play in MLS.
The best players don't necessarily come from the draft.
Right. Yeah, 100%. A lot of it is still teams seeking out transfers and that kind of thing. But, man, it's a great time to be alive. The World Cup has been a great distraction and, you know, good for the PR of this country, too. You know, America needed a little good PR, and this World Cup is providing every other country a look into a America's not that bad of a place at the end of the day.
I mean, not a bad place to visit, definitely not a bad place to live comparably to a lot of different places. There was a fan from Norway, like somewhere in that area, and he was walking through, I believe, a Walmart, and he was like doing a vlog, and he was pulling out all this crazy stuff, and then he looks up and he's like, in America, they have their American flag everywhere. Everywhere you look in our country, you'd be looked down upon for supporting your country that way, or waving your flag that way, or wearing a flag t-shirt. And he admired how much pride we had. So like, I do gotta, like, I give a lot of people crap for like putting the American flag on everything, and I make fun of them all the time, but at the same time, you know, maybe it's not the worst thing to enjoy parts of your country.
Definitely always good to be patriotic. With Ryan and Rex, this is Talking Sports from the Couve, KXRW 99.9, Vancouver Independent Radio.